all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true.
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection, a place of shared unity and equal common ground for all peoples and cultures, a unity not built on separation and blindness, but a solid foundation built on the respect for all walks of life, molded by the thirst of the people for change, in unity, bridging the gap, for we are the voice of we the people. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free 888-389-3452 and 877-489-6350. Our direct lines is same area code 530-776-5144 or 776-5154 and 413-4511. And we also got area code 415-287-0074. I have been really excited about the show that we are going to be having tonight. And our title for the show for this evening is The Find, a Snaky Dealings Behind the Scenes of a Environmental Cleanup Projects. I am so thrilled and honored to have Marilyn Jacks with us tonight. She comes to us live all the way from the Caribbean. Isn't that awesome, guys? My very first guest from the Caribbean. So before we invite our guests for this evening onto the show, please allow me to share a bit of information about our guest. She is a veteran senior government enforcement investigator for close to two decades and a retired certified fraud examiner. She enjoys, not only does she live in Minnesota, but she also frequents in Florida and the Caribbean and loves to spend time in Montana. She is very well known and has received a highly acclaimed six-time award-winning murder mystery novel set in Grand Canyon, Miami, and London. I'd like to personally invite all of you to my show page with BBS Radio. As you all know, I have a wealth of information about each of our guests. And for those in Pound Talk, throughout the broadcast, we will be posting all the vital information for all of your convenience. Without further delay, let's all please together give our guest Marilyn a warm welcome to the show. Aloha, Marilyn.
Aloha, Leilani. I'm just delighted to be on your show.
Oh, thank you. Well, first and foremost, you are an absolutely stunning young lady.
Thank you.
And it is truly an honor. I have done a lot of research on you, and you have definitely made your mark. And it is really exciting to have you with us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Well, you're welcome. Matter of fact, before I forget, let me go ahead and share the website. I'd like to invite you all personally to Marilyn's website, and that is Marilyn Jacks, and that's J-A-X www.lohaleilani.com. And I'd like to invite you all personally to explore her website. You also, once as we dive into this incredible book that she has written, you can also purchase her book with Amazon.com, Barnes and Noble, Borders, and other fine bookstores as well. So let me ask you, Marilyn, would you like to share a little bit more about yourself with all of us tonight?
Yeah, I sure will. I was born and raised in Minnesota. The land of extremes, many long, cold winters surrounded by 10 and 12-foot snow drifts, and then hot, humid summers. I went to college in Minnesota, and then I completed postgraduate work in Chicago, Illinois. I worked as a counselor for delinquent teenagers and as a legal assistant at a law firm in the Twin Cities before I secured my long-term career job, which was a senior government enforcement investigator for the state of Minnesota, where I stayed for close to 20 years.
Wow.
And
Go ahead, please continue.
Well, I was just going to say, as an investigator, my expertise was in the fields of real estate, franchise, and environmental cleanup law. And then I investigated individuals within those industries who engaged in misrepresentation or fraudulent practices.
Ooh, now you're talking about an interesting job. I bet you got to see a whole lot of stuff.
Oh, yes. Over the years, I saw many, many things. And my career turned out to be just the experience I really needed to become a writer of mysteries. It really provided me the day-to-day know-how of the true life of a real investigator.
So was this the main catalyst that actually inspired you to sit down and actually start writing these books?
Certainly in part it was. I have always loved mysteries myself. I was an avid mystery reader all of my life and still am. I started reading Nancy Drew books as a child, and I waited for each new book to come out. That was always what I asked for my birthday, the new Nancy Drew book, and I would just inhale it. I would read it immediately and then, you know, wait for the next one. And I always really enjoyed mysteries. I always liked a puzzle to solve. If you gave me a puzzle to solve, I'd work on it until I figured it out. So, yeah, I think it was always kind of there. And my career turned out to be, you know, a great experience for me to write mysteries later on.
Absolutely. And I found that to be so true as I started diving into your book. And I have to say, your book really kept me engaged with it. And it was... It was so interesting because I'd say, okay, well, I got to get off and go do something else, but I wasn't able to put the book down.
Oh, I love to hear that. I love to hear that. And many readers have told me the same thing, that it's kept them up all night long. Readers have told me they called in sick to work the next day to finish my book. And when I hear that, I kind of secretly smile and think, okay, then I've done it right.
Absolutely, and it definitely did do that for me. On that note, Marilyn, we've already got callers calling in, so if it's all right with you, I'd like to go ahead and invite our first caller onto the show. Is that all right?
Certainly.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. I'd like to personally invite Marcus from New Hampshire on line 2 onto the show.
Hello.
Aloha, Marcus.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello. Very good.
Hi, Marcus.
I'm buzzing to both of you and all the listeners.
Well, thank you. It's a true honor to have you call into the show tonight. And did you have anything that you would personally like to share with Marilyn?
I'd be interested in finding out from some things I've heard as far as were there actually extraterrestrials involved with the Nazis as well as with our government at the time of World War II, which are hidden secrets, or is that just rumors?
Oh, boy. I'm certainly not an expert on extraterrestrials. I think that was your question.
Yes, because I've heard rumors of that, but I haven't had actual confirmation of that, that the grays, the negative ETs were working with them, and then we had some of the other extraterrestrials who were more positive working with us to combat them.
Oh, boy. That's not my expertise. I really don't think I'm the one to comment on that. Maybe Leilani, do you know anything about this?
Well, thank you, because you were right on the same page with me. What I can say to you, Marcus, is that I personally know individuals on this planet and that have had firsthand experience with extraterrestrial. And matter of fact, I've actually had him on previous shows with us, and his name is Dr. Stranges. But what's really profound about it is that he is a former 35-year CIA and had worked strongly with the Pentagon, and he was actually called in when, you know, we had the whole scenario with the Roswell crashes and all those kinds of things. I do know for a fact that he still today works very frequently with the extraterrestrial. So I'll take it one step further and invite Dr. Stranges to come back onto the show and many other experts that had actually had firsthand experience. What do you think about that?
Oh, well, let me just say this, as you already know, Leilani, is that I'm fully aware that I know that, as you know, we are all multidimensional beings, and that I have more of a conscious awareness, and that my higher dimensional aspect has for many years been part of the Astral Galactic Command. And,
right.
You know, and I've had, I guess you could say, out-of-body experiences on the ships.
Well, we'll have to, because I actually did one broadcast where, and matter of fact, Dr. Strangers was actually on the show with me, and I was on live camera at the time, which I will be going back to very quickly here. And what was really interesting, we actually captured it on camera where actually Captain Thor came down through the ceiling and was standing right next to me during a live broadcast. So we'll see what we can do about bringing Dr. Stranges back and see if we can't have Commander Thor participate with us.
Well, what I can do with work with some of the multidimensional crystal sphere technology that I've talked to you about, and perhaps through that, we can bring that about, or something even bigger than that.
You got it.
So you and I can work on that.
We have definitely got a plan.
Very advanced technology.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you, Marcus, for calling in. I got to take this other caller, but many blessings to you, and we're going to be doing great things.
Sounds good. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
And God bless, and thank you for calling.
Yeah.
I'd like to invite our next caller, Debbie from California, to the show. Aloha, Debbie.
Aloha.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing very well. It's beautiful here. And I just have a quick question.
Sure.
I read The Find. A friend of mine recommended it about, I would say, maybe 6 months ago. And I was one of those. I'm not an avid reader, honestly, but I could not put that book down. And I just want to know, is the author still on the line?
Oh, you bet you are, Marilyn.
I am. Okay.
Hi, Marilyn. I just want to know, when is the next book coming out, please? There is another one, right?
Ooh, good question. I am working on a second book right now. The title of it is Road to Amalos.
Amalos? How do you spell that?
O-M-A-L-O-S.
Got it.
And the storyline takes place between Miami and Crete.
And
the same two main characters that you found in The Find will also be in Road to Amalos.
Okay, I'm going to say something ignorant. What does Amalos mean?
You'll have to read the book.
Oh!
I will tell you this.
Okay.
It is a place in Crete.
Okay.
And that's all I want to say about it at this time.
Can I ask, why did you choose Crete for this book?
I'm sorry.
Why did you choose Crete for this one?
I have visited the island of Crete.
Oh, okay.
And I usually tend to write about things that I know about or
sure.
places that I've been.
Sure. Oh, good.
So
well,
was,
I'm very, very excited.
Fit.
So please, please, please. And how will we know when it's coming out? Will I go to your website or?
Yeah, you can check on my website. In fact,
okay.
the prologue to Road to Amelos is already posted on my website.
Oh, okay. Okay.
At www.marilynjacks.com.
Okay.
So you can read the prologue now. And
okay,
hopefully
and
the book will be out later this year.
So by the end of 2009?
Correct.
Okay, good. Oh, thank you, thank you, thanks so much.
Wait,
and
Debbie,
thanks for letting me talk.
Before you hang up, can you wait just a moment? You know, I
sure.
wanted to say I absolutely agree with you, Debbie, about this book. I mean, it had a grip on me.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm not going to get anything done because it was one of those books you just
That's exactly right. That's why I keep waiting for the next one.
Yeah.
Thank you both. That's always fun to hear because most readers have said that they read it in two nights, that they
yep.
really just
yep,
couldn't
me too,
put it
two
down.
Nights. That's right. Okay, ladies, thank you so much, and I'll let somebody else talk.
All right.
Thank
God
you for
bless
your call.
You.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And you know, it's really interesting is I want to mention to everyone that's tuned into the show tonight is this is 320 pages of just jam-packed of, it just really grabs a hold of you. And you know, I read a lot of books as many of you actually know out there and the show has been extremely blessed to have so many wonderful authors and writers of great books that's been on this show. And this book, I don't know, I'm searching now for the right words to really express how this book just grabs a hold of you. But I will prepare you guys, when you get ready to read this book, make sure you got all your responsibilities done because you're going to be there for a while until you finish this book. And I mean that literally, as you've heard from Debbie. And I just wanted to take a moment and actually read some of the comments from other readers. And here's one that says, I've read The Find. More and more I am breathless, sleepless, and smiling full face. I had the hardest time putting down the fine to do necessary things like eat, sleep, go to work. I resent their intrusion into this incredible story. So well said. Thank you for sharing those thoughts with us because it is absolute true. So getting back to the book, Debbie, Marilyn, share a little bit about the characters of this book and the whole theme that you are sharing within the book.
Within the book. The Find, it's a mystery. It's a suspense thriller. And the storyline, as you have said, takes place between Grand Cayman in the Caribbean, Miami, and London. And old-fashioned, really tried-and-true investigative techniques are used together with modern forensic technology to solve an age-old murder. And the reader is given clues along the way so that they can try to solve the case before the two main characters do. The two main characters being Claire Caswell and Gaston Guy Lombard. And her experience is that she was a state investigator for the state of Florida for many years. And Gaston Lombard was a Miami state attorney. And they bond together on this case to solve this case that people say is impossible to solve. It's an age-old murder with, you know, very few clues, and people are, you know, wagering bets that it cannot be solved, basically. But you watch them, you watch the kind of grudging task of trying to find clues where there are none right away, and they dig them up one by one, and you as the reader get to be part of the story and follow the investigation and try to solve the crime. And there's a lot of, there's numerous twists and turns, surprising twists and turns that really hold the reader's interest until the very end of the book.
Yeah. It's just like this comment I shared with all the listeners, you know, about, you know, like eating, sleeping, and going to work. And it's absolute, you know. If you'd have told me that a book would have that type of an effect on me, I would have said, yeah, right. You know, especially with a person such as myself that, you know, has, you know, receives a lot of books. And so, and this definitely captured me for, well, it took me 3 days because obviously I had to say no to myself and to the book and then get back to it. But exactly. Here's another great comment, which I would agree on, and I'd like to, which will be based on my next question for you, Marilyn, is this book is fascinating and would certainly make a great movie. Ditto that. So do you have any future plans of sitting down and producing a movie based on your books?
Well, that would be a good question. And, of course, I would be thrilled to see The Find on the big screen. I believe almost every person that has written to me, and I get emails all the time from people who have read it, almost to a person they say that this should be a movie on the big screen. And I have found that my reader, my audience, really is searching for good, substantive mysteries that are not filled with a lot of violent and gory scenes. They want a really good mystery that gets their mind working without all the graphic gore and sex that you find in a lot of books. And I hear that over and over and over. And they say the same for movies. That's what they'd like to see on the big screen. So, yes, I would love to see it become a movie. And we'll see what happens down the road.
Well, keep us posted. And once that takes place, you know, send me a trailer so, you know, we can, you know, I'll post it up on my show page so we can, you know, have a sneak preview. And I would love to be able to support you that way.
That would be just wonderful. You know, I was going to mention, Leilani, recently I read some statistics about people and book reading. And I read that while the sale of books is actually up in the United States, I read some statistics that I'd like to just quickly go over with you because I find them to be kind of shocking.
Please
and
do.
One of them said one-third of high school graduates never read another book for the rest of their lives. 42% of college graduates never read another book after college. 80% of U.S. families did not buy a book or read a book last year. And 70% of U.S. adults have not been in a bookstore in the last 5 years. And I was shocked. I was stunned by those statistics. Reading a book is really good for the soul, and it can really just transform or transport you, I guess I want to say, into another realm. And it's just people that read books when they're young become adult book readers. And I think it's so important for people to read books and read a variety of books. And it's such a wonderful way to spend any spare time that you might have.
Well, absolutely. And you know, as you were sharing that with us, is knowledge is empowerment. But with the books that you have written, which leads me to the next question, Marilyn, is how much of your own personal experiences through your investigations have you utilized within your own mysteries and your thrillers?
That's a very good question. I think most authors, you know, they write about what they know. So while The Find is definitely fiction, there's a part of me in the character Claire Caswell, because she is a seasoned investigator, much like I was before I retired. And a part of me is in her character, definitely. She's also a bit of a clairvoyant. She has, you know, that innate sense, that ESP, that kind of nudges her in the right direction in investigations. And she tends to see things other people don't see. And that's very helpful to her.
And that was the type of investigator you have been in your own work. You were one of those individuals that looked underneath rocks that most people wouldn't have thought to look under.
Exactly.
Or gone a different direction and not necessarily followed what you had always been taught. You were listening to that inner voice within yourself as you continued your investigations, which made you a great investigator.
Yes, and I think a good investigator is driven both by facts and by instinct.
Yes.
And the instinct part is something either you have or you don't have. It cannot be learned. And then I think the ability to reason is also very important for a good investigator, to be able to put clues together that are collected into a coherent picture. And I think it's important to know that as an investigator, you may never find all of the pieces to the puzzle, but hopefully you'll find enough of the pieces to figure out the picture, to figure out what happened.
Absolutely.
So, instinct is invaluable.
Absolutely. And the exercising of common sense, which basically, you know, works hand in hand with each other. I have a comment from one of the listeners that I would actually like to share with everyone. And it says here, it's from Natural, and it says, understatement is empowerment. I think you can read all you want, but if you don't understand the knowledge that you are reading, then it's just words that mean nothing. And I absolutely agree with that. And you know, I, as Marilyn was sharing about the statistics of our young youth today, where, you know, most of them don't take the time out to read a book, is I had that same attitude as well. For many, many years. And then as I started diving into really appreciating what the author had to share with us, I took my time to really absorb and process the information that I was reading, and then asked myself as an individual, you know, was that information that could help enhance who I chose to be? Now, what you're going to find about the novel, The Find, is that it's like everyday type of things that we hear that's going on in our world today. And it gives you that sneak peek into, like, you're sitting there as an observer, observing all of this that's taking place. Wouldn't you agree, Marilyn?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's very well said. Very well said.
Oh, thank you.
And I think I was going to mention, too, that mysteries, you know, even like the CSI television series, they're so popular right now because the general public really likes mysteries and they like crime fiction. They like to solve mysteries. And in a mystery book, generally, the results are kind of neatly tied up. The author can have the bad guy pay for his crimes. Sometimes that doesn't happen in real life. And I think mystery readers like to see that happen. They like to see a happy ending where the killer is found out and caught and justice is served. And you generally do see that in a mystery book. Although the new mysteries now are tending more toward realism and character, and justice is served, but not always with a happy ending. So your audience can look for that, too, as they read mysteries, that they're not always going to be a happy ending, but it's an interesting twist. Justice will still be served.
Always. It always is. I want to personally welcome all those that have joined us for this live broadcast with the Universal Spiritual Connection. Our guest for this evening is author Marilyn Jacks, and we are talking about her wonderful novel, The Find. And I'd like to share that website, and that is www.marilynjaxx, and that is spelled JAX.com. Personally invite each and every one of you to my show page with bbsradio.com. As you all know, I have a wealth of information about our author, and we are also posting that information up throughout the broadcast for your convenience. And take some time, explore it, and read some. Let me ask you this, Marilyn. You also have some blogs. Is that correct?
I do not have a blog.
Okay. I guess
I probably
we'll have to get
should.
You started, huh?
I probably should. Yeah, probably when my second book comes out, I will have a blog, because many people have been asking for that.
Yes, that would be really, really nice, and then that way we can continuously go and add our own comments of, you know, our wonderful experience with your books, along with keeping us posted on new books that are coming out, when your new movies will be coming out. Is that a hint?
Hey, I like that. Leilani, I like that.
I'm already great. Putting that out to the universe.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to agree with you. That's great.
So can you tell us a little bit about this other book that will soon be coming out, if that's all right with you?
It's another investigation. It is not a sequel per se to The Find, meaning you can pick up my second book and read it if you haven't read my first one. But the same main characters will be in every book, each book, and I have several books in my mind right now that will be written. And they will all have these same two main characters investigating a new crime and solving it. And,
ooh,
you know,
nice.
Most of them will take place in different physical locales, so that the reader can learn about different places, you know, in the world as well.
Absolutely. Well, you definitely have me hooked, that's for sure. And that's not easy to hook me when it comes to really finding something that just, you know, I can't wait for the next one. I'm like Debbie, the caller.
Thank you. It's very nice.
Well,
you know,
it's true, Marilyn. You know, I have always felt the show has always been very blessed with incredible, powerful guests, and they've been so willing to share, you know, a part of themselves with all the listeners, and that's what makes a great show. But more so, it's really about making that connection with the people.
I agree.
You do it so well within your book.
Thank you. That was one of my goals, to write a book where the reader could really feel like they were part of the story and really kind of engage with the characters and want to turn that next page, so that when they got to the end of a chapter, they didn't put the book down for the night. They had to turn that next page and keep reading. That was my goal.
So you had a plot going on already as you were writing the book.
You know, and I'll tell you, a lot of authors have an outline. They sit down with an outline and they go, you know, step by step as they're writing. I don't use an outline. I sit down and I find that the story just kind of pours out and has a mind of its own and takes me in places. Sometimes it even surprises me. And I just follow and I let the characters come alive, and they're alive for as long as they need to be, and they say what they need to say, and then sometimes they go away.
Yes, I'd like to share another comment with all our listeners tonight, and it says here, I finished the book and loved it. Usually, mysteries do not hold my attention since I tend to quickly solve them. In your book, I did not solve the puzzle to the last few chapters, and I continued to read till the very last page. Great job. I look forward to the next book. And I will agree, because, you know, I'm usually pretty good at figuring out the plot, and I have to say I wasn't able to do that until the last couple of chapters myself.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful.
So let's talk a little bit further about the find, and what are the other elements to the book that you find that you personally would like to share with all the listeners tonight? Why this book is one of those books that keeps you engaged with it?
Well, I'm hoping that readers experience many kind of varied emotional responses as they read the book. I think there are parts that will make the reader laugh out loud. I think there are parts that will potentially make the reader cry. I think part of it can be terrifying. There's just many, and I think a good mystery can even sometimes challenge your core beliefs. There's a lot of truth in fiction. And in fact, as a fiction writer, you have to be very careful that you do not have any plot flaws or anything in fiction that actually is not accurate. So you have to write with as much truth as you can in fiction. I know that sounds funny, but that's the rule. And mystery writers, I think more than any other readers, they really expect things from a mystery novel. And they want action, they want conflict, they want the unusual, they're drawn to a character that wants something badly, they want to know what happens. And I think it's usually the characters that make the story. It's usually the characters we all remember from a favorite book rather than the storyline itself, oftentimes.
Well, one of the things that I had found as well, Marilyn, because I had touched on it earlier in the show, is that, you know, I had asked you how much of the find, you know, with your own personal life experiences with the work that you do. And it was very obvious to me, even though you had said that, you know, is it Claire? Yes.
Claire Caswell, yes.
Yes. You know, portrayed quite a bit of your own personality. I found you were all over the book, and it was very obvious that your expertise really showed up in the book. And what I found is it did indeed touch on many various emotions with me, and I was able to actually reflect on current events that's happening right here, right now.
Okay. I that's very interesting. And I think the characters are very believable, and I think they deal with modern day as well. This book really mixes things from the past and the present. And it takes really grueling, nose to the grindstone type of investigative work to solve this crime, combined with technology that you hear about today, the DNA, you know, mitochondrial DNA, which is DNA that's abstracted from bones. When there's only bones to work with in a murder case, for example, this mitochondrial DNA can tell a story of who the person is. And so it kind of combines, you know, really tough, old-fashioned investigative gumshoe work with current DNA type technology to solve a crime. And so, yeah, I think people that watch CSI will see a little bit of that in the find.
Absolutely. I'd like to share another important comment with all of you, and that's from the Caribbean to Miami to London and back. The plot has more twists than even the most addicted mystery buff can handle. Just when you think you've solved the case, a new suspect takes you in another direction. And oh boy, is that the truth. Marilyn Jacks has written a thriller that will keep you guessing to the very end. And this is Ron Messler. Bessler, is that the correct pronunciation?
That was a quote by Ron Meshbesher. He's a criminal defense attorney. and very, very famous criminal defense attorney.
Wow.
He read the book and loved it.
Well, Ron, I agree with you. I've had the opportunity and the pleasure to read this book, and I absolutely agree with you on this. So tell us a little bit more about the book and a little bit further about the characters as well.
Claire Caswell, there's a personal issue between the two. These are the two main characters, are Claire Caswell and Guy Lombard, also are in a romantic relationship. So they're in a business relationship trying to solve this murder, and they also are in a love relationship. And there's an issue within that love relationship that I won't specify in case your readers want to, or your listeners want to read the book. But there is an underlying issue between them, a personal issue that comes up time and again throughout this book as well. So you get to know the characters. You're kind of rooting for them to solve this underlying issue. And that kind of adds another dimension to the whole story.
Absolutely. Can I use the word steamy? Is that okay, Seth, that I
use
the word steamy?
Yeah, steamy, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I know.
Relationship.
I find it in a big way very challenging, to actually talk about the book without spilling a lot of the beans about the book because it's that good.
And that's hard for me to do, too. It's hard to talk about the book without talking about specifics. And I do try to kind of safeguard the specifics so that the reader can really be surprised as they go along the way in the book.
Yes, absolutely. We tonight, I know that more of you have tuned in to the show, and it's a true honor to have each and every one of you with us this evening. We are talking with Marilyn Jacks, and she is the author of a wonderful novel titled The Fine. Her website is Marilyn Jacks, and that's spelled JAX.com. I'd like to further share her bio with all of you. She is indeed a veteran senior government enforcement investigator for close to two decades and a retired certified fraud examiner. Ooh, that's another great field to be in is fraud.
Well, boy, especially now. And we're hearing about so much fraud now. And I think there's more to come, much more to come down the road.
I agree with you. I had quite a bit of training in fraud myself way back when, and it was very intriguing. And I'll never forget this because one of the sheriffs that actually came in with part of the training said to us that were there was, what I'm about to teach you, the criminal is already 10 years ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. Always.
So
I think that's a very interesting point. They always are. And boy, some of the best cons that I ever investigated had baby faces, and they could, sell ice to Eskimos. I mean, they were very believable, very likable. And I think everything we've heard lately with the Madoff debacle and some of these others just really is a warning to all of us to be careful to check things out thoroughly before we jump into them, to do our homework, to do some due diligence before we let anyone, take care of our money. I mean, money is hard-earned, and, boy, to lose it the way so many of his Madoff's victims lost their money, I mean, it's unconscionable. It's very bad. And I think it's just a lesson to all of us to, know who we're dealing with and really do some research before we jump into anything.
I agree with you. Unfortunately, my father was a victim of that as well, where, he invested, thousands and thousands of dollars. Of course, this man is in federal prison today, but there were so many. I was trying to think of the man because, you know, he actually sold stocks and bonds and those kinds of things, and it hit national TV and, you know, front pages of newspapers and stuff. And of course, my father was one of those individuals. And it's interesting too, Marilyn, because it doesn't matter how much research you do, you know, they've become so good at what they do that you have to really tune into that inner voice within yourself and pay attention before you even move forward with a lot of these things anymore.
Yes, I think listening to your inner voice is very, very important, because we all have gut feelings or gut reactions. If something doesn't seem right or seems too good to be true, we need to follow those warnings, those internal warnings, because they're there for a reason. And I think sometimes, you know, greed is kind of at the bottom of this, and people, even though they get those feelings, they don't follow them because they think they're making money, or they think things are going well and things are successful, and they ignore those voices that tell them to look a little deeper, dig a little deeper. And I think people are going to have to start really listening more to their inner voice, their conscience, and their inner voice that's there to guide them and nudge them in the right direction.
Absolutely. You know, because one of the things that I was initially trained in, of course, was with money, you know, how to actually identify counterfeit and false IDs and those types of things and so forth. And it was quite amazing. Sometimes they've got technology out there that just, you know, it's very difficult to even realize that it's not the real deal.
Exactly. And it's amazing what, you know, anyone with a computer and some computer software, they can dummy up or forge any kind of document and make it look totally legitimate.
So, yeah.
You know, we're living in days where we really have to be discerning, because I think there will be a lot of people trying to harm others, maybe even more so than in the past. And I just think people need to be very careful.
I agree. I absolutely agree. You guys heard that. So, you know, be your best friend. Stay tuned in, plugged in to you. And even when you think you've done the best research, take it one step further. And I've always been one of those individuals. I like to get off the beaten path, so to speak, of what we would normally consider following, and really looking underneath different stones to see what's hidden underneath there. And then you double check that even. And, you know, because I don't need to tell any of you, we've got a lot of that going on in our world today. But I'd also like to, once again, invite you to Marilyn's website, and that is MarilynJax.com. And spend some quality time and explore what Marilyn has to offer you. And I will tell you this, it's not until you choose to pick up this book and dive into it that it won't take you very long to figure out what you've got in your hands. And I will say, make sure you get your work done, because it's going to have that kind of an effect on you where you're going to forget to eat, sleep, and you may even call in to work. Let's not do that, guys. We need to be responsible and go to work. But it has that type of an effect on you. And not there's not a lot of books out there that really keeps you engaged with the full story, and you have that thirst to get to the next chapter to see what's going on. So let me ask you this, Marilyn. Let's talk a little bit about more about the children, and, you know, where are they getting lost not having the desire to read books? Where are we failing as parents?
Well, I have heard that even you know, during a pregnancy, women sometimes will start reading to their child at that point. And then as soon as they're born, they start reading stories to their children so that the child really grows up hearing words from different interesting children's books. And I think, as I said earlier, children who read become adults who read. And so I think it's wonderful for parents to read to their children. I think it's wonderful to give gifts of books to everyone. I mean, when a holiday comes up, we always give books now. We think it's just a wonderful gift. And, you know, I've talked to people that just have stopped reading books, and when they receive a book for a gift, they sit down and read it, and they say, thank you. This opened up a whole new world that I had forgotten about. And I think in our, you know, very tough economic times that have hit all of us, what we can still afford is a book. We can buy a book, we can go to a library and check a book out, and we can get lost in a story and just be transported to another realm and just have an incredible experience. And it's not going to cost us very much money. And I think that's something that we're all going to have to look at more and more, too, as we go through these tough times.
Yes, I agree. And you know what's interesting, too, is when we allow ourselves to pick up a book and read, not only do we gain knowledge, but we also receive inspiration. It changes our whole outlook and attitude and perception on how we deal with ourselves and our everyday life. And interestingly enough, when I read The Find, I also found that I was able to utilize some of the information to incorporate in my own life. So you never know where you're going to pick up vital information that can really support you.
That's a very good point. Yeah. I almost never read a book that doesn't touch me in some profound way. I usually have 4 to 6 books on my bedside table at any given time because I just go through books rapidly. I love to read, and I read all types of books. I love mysteries. I love historical novels, nonfiction, memoirs. I really do enjoy reading, and I learn. And I think every reader of a book, everyone, when they get to that last page and close that book, they should walk away with some new knowledge.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And things that will stay with them. And a good book can really haunt your dreams. I mean, when you get into a good book, it really becomes a part of you. Not only while you're reading it, but even after you close the book and after you've finished it. Some books stay with you forever.
That's absolutely true, because I actually still own quite a few books that I've had at least over 20 years and still enjoy picking them up and reading them. I'm not going to invite you to my home, Marilyn, because when you see all the books I got.
Oh, and here I was hoping you were going to have me over for tea one day.
Well, you know what, hon? I will in a heartbeat. I would love to meet you. You've been such a huge inspiration to me, and I learned a lot from you just by sitting down and reading The Find. As I had said earlier, I have changed some of my own perception on how, with my own relationship with myself and my outer world. And what's really nice, too, is it allowed me to further expand the way I was thinking on how I was viewing my world.
That's nice to hear. Thank you.
Well, it's the absolute truth. We're getting closer to the end of our broadcast, but I would like to take a moment and share this with all of you. For 2007 through 2008 Book Awards, Marilyn has been awarded the 2007 MIPA Midwest Book Awards Commercial Fiction, 2008 Eric Hoffer Book Awards Commercial Fiction, 2008 National Indie Excellent Book Awards Best New Fiction, Best Mystery Suspense Thriller, Best Cover Design, and from the National Best Books 2008 Awards, USA Book News, Best New Fiction. Once again, that website is MarilynJax.com, and that's J-A-X. And you will find that this book will touch on a lot of current events that are unfolding on our planet today. You'll actually be able to find yourself reflecting on past events as well, also. And I'm sure that many of you will be just like me. You will expand your outlook on how you perceive our outer world as I have. And it really got me to sit down and think about a lot of things on a very deep personal level, and not only just having a good book to read that keeps you constantly thirsting for more, and Marilyn has definitely captured that. I personally feel, and I'm sure Marilyn will correct me if I'm wrong, is that I found a lot of her expertise in the work that she's is been involved with, and her passion really shows up in her books. So before we have to say good night to you, Marilyn, what are some of the things that I haven't touched on that you would really like to convey to all the listeners?
I guess, you know, just in ending, I would like to encourage people to start reading again. I am part of a group of award-winning Minnesota authors, and we travel around together and we put on book events and speak to groups of people. And our motto is really get people reading again. We think it's so valuable to have a book in your hand and read and learn and go to different places. Let them take you to different places. And we just hope that during this tough economic time that people will return to reading books and giving them to one another and sharing good books with each other, and that it will turn out to be a really good thing that comes out of something bad.
Absolutely. I'd like to share this a little bit more about the book. It says here, spanning three continents and seven decades, The Find, with its vital settings and haunting characters, weaves a chilling tale of murder, greed, and suspense that will seize your imagination and take it for an unforgettable ride. Ditto on that. Once again, that website is MarilynJax.com, and that's spelled J-A-X. So is there anything else that you might be up to in the near future, Marilyn, that you may want to mention to all of us before we say goodnight?
Right now I'm spending pretty much full time working on the second book to get it out, because everyone that has read The Find is you know, clamoring for this next book, and I'm getting emails every day from people, where's the next book, where's the next book? So right now I've kind of made that a priority in my life, and I'm just trying to get through that and get that done.
Excellent.
Get that taken care of.
Thank you. If you would like to purchase The Find, you can purchase it through Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, Borders, and other fine bookstores as well. And so, Marilyn, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you for being my first guest from all the way from the Caribbean.
You're so welcome, and I want to say mahalo and aloha.
Thank you. We have truly been blessed and honored to have you with us tonight. We hope that you will keep us posted and come back and share your new book that will be coming out soon with all of us. We look forward to your return. And on that note, it is time for all of us to stand firmly planted in expanding our minds, allowing ourselves to feel all the different emotions, but keeping them in well-balanced as well. I also would like to remind all of you, be kind to yourselves and to others. It takes less energy to say, to give out a smile or the appreciation of the people around you, including yourself. Remember that we are the empowerment, the authority of our own worlds. Be good stewards of self and to others. On that note, we say goodnight to Marilyn and goodnight to all of you, and God bless.
Maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true, because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly high. We were born to fly, and so was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly. And we were born to fly, so was I. But when you live in a world that tells you that you can't, and when you live in a world that says you must be something other than what you are, in a world that forgets, he was born to fly. We were born to fly. We were born to fly.